first. I never preach a Dorian offering. Man, you guys hear me okay? Amen.
Tell a joke.
Yeah, I got a joke. I'm about to preach it. Amen. Actually, we're going to talk about a guy that preached to cows. How many of you guys know there's a guy in the Bible that preached to cows? Nobody? We're going to go to Amos chapter 4. Amen. Amos chapter 4. While we're getting there, I just want to say glad to be here tonight. Thankful for the opportunity preacher gave me to preach. Having a hard time with this message. I've been working on it for a few weeks now. And hopefully it goes well. I just want to say I appreciate Brother Dan. He's been a good friend to me throughout the years. I'm so blessed that he gets to do what his heart desired. I remember going out every Saturday with him. And I just knew his heart always was to get to Camden the whole time. And I'm just so blessed and so thankful that he gets to do what he wanted to do.
Amen. Amen.
I love how God always considers your heart when he gives you what you have to do. He can, even if you don't really understand it, he's always considering what you want and your desires and how he can use you and serve you through those desires. Amen. God's a blessing that way. All right. Amos chapter 4. I was going to try and do a joke, but I'm not going to. Amen. Let's just read the Bible. We had enough jokes, I guess. Trying to figure out how I can follow that. Amen. Chapter 4, verse 1. Hear this word, ye kine of Bashan. And a kine is milk cows. This is the cows. And he's saying, hear the word, ye kine of Bashan. And Bashan is the rich pasture land, which is in the north of Gilead on the east side of Jordan. And so here's Amos, and God's directing him. And he's not really talking to cows. What he's talking to, he's actually talking to the women. He's talking to the women there. He says, that are in the mountain of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their masters, bring and let us drink. And I'll use something to compare it to. Let's take a look at Acts 16. Now, before you get too nervous, I'm not stupid enough to think I can preach to the women of the church. So don't worry about that. But I am going to use this text here. And just to point out what he's saying in the beginning, kind of as an introduction. And to hopefully calm my nerves a little bit so I can turn my pages. Amen. Acts 16, verse 16. It says, and it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. So you've got a woman here who is, she's got a wicked spirit, basically. And she was a soothsayer. And there were some men that used this woman to collect. They made a profit off of her. And it says in 17 that it's the same. This woman here followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation. So here she is, this wicked woman's following Paul and them, saying, oh, these guys that teach you about salvation, these guys that teach you about salvation. And strange enough, it says in the next verse, and in verse 18, it says, and this did she many days, but Paul, but being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them in the marketplace and unto the rulers and basically cast them out of the town and said, you're no good to us anymore. So really the men behind it were the ones that were making money off this woman who was going around trying to take profit off these guys' work they did. And Paul didn't want to be tied into that spirit, and he didn't want to be counted as being part of their ministry, and so he had to get rid of that. And here you find in this verse, back in Amos chapter 4, you see that he's saying, you kin of Bashan, he's basically calling these women cows, that are in the mountain of Samaria, who oppress the poor, which crush the knee, which say to their masters, bring and let us drink. You find that there's some wicked women. There's some wicked women here in this area that he's talking to. And what you find is a lot of times, and in the next verses we're starting to talk about prosperity and money and all that, you find that the devil starts with the women. Amen. And he gets in their ears.
Yeah.
And he gets in their ears, and he turns their ears, and he turns their ears to turn to their men's ears.
Right.
And starts to drive them apart.
Yeah,
you remember what happened to Job, and everything was going wrong, his family's dying, and the last thing was what? His wife came to him.
Right.
Said, just give up. Just quit. Curse God and die is what she said. And of course, he responded in kind, "You speak as one of the foolish women." But here we find that he's talking about these things. And it says in verse 2, it says, "The Lord God has sworn by his holiness that though the days shall come upon you, that he will take you away with hooks and your prosperity with fish hooks. And you shall go out at the breaches, every cow at the which is before her, and you shall cast them into the palace, saith the Lord." And here you find he's still referencing them as cows. He's talking down to them, basically. He's kind of crude, really. He's really being kind of crude. And you find a lot of preachers like that in the Old Testament. And he's talking about how he's going to take their prosperity away. All this money that they're getting by doing these things that they shouldn't be doing. Because let's get some context to the chapter. Here the Israelites were in a prosperous time. That God had blessed them so greatly, and he'd taken them out of the wilderness and done all those things for them and set up their kingdom, and he's turned away and set them into captivity because of their sins, because of the wrongs that they have done, because they refused to listen, because they refused to obey God, and God had turned them away. And here you find that he's saying, okay, well, look, I'm going to turn away. I'm going to take away your prosperity. I'm going to put hooks. I'm going to take fish hooks and take your prosperity, and it's going to be turned over to the kings of the land. So cast them aside. Look at verse 4. It says, "Come to Bethel and transgress, and at Gilgal multiply transgression, and bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes after 3 years." And here's God basically mocking these people. He's saying, yeah, come to Bethel. Come to the house of God. He says, come there and transgress. Yeah. He's saying, come to Gilgal. A place of respect. It's called the circle or the wheel. It's a place where they first came. When the Israelites first came out, they came to Gilgal, and they set it up as a place of worship. And he's saying, come there and multiply transgression. He says, yeah, bring your sacrifices. Yeah, come and bring your tithes every once in a while. They were required to bring their tithes, but he said, bring your tithes after 3 years. Mocking them. Mocking at the offerings that they were doing. Because these men, they were still putting on the show. They were still doing some of the things they said they had to do. They were bringing their sacrifices. They were setting up the altars. They were doing the things that God said they should do. They were bringing their offerings of thanksgiving, their sacrifice of thanksgiving, I mean. They were doing the heave offering. They were doing all these things that God said to do, and a tithing of their land and all these things. But in all, they weren't even doing it. They were doing it in sin. And so to liken it unto a church today, you'd say it was men that just came to church. Just to come to church. The reason I struggled with this message was I knew it was going to be a Sunday night. And I know you guys are trying, just like I'm trying. Amen. And I don't believe in beating an obedient dog. Amen. And because I'm just an obedient dog. Amen. And I know you guys are tired. And I know you guys are struggling. And I see it on your faces. Amen. Amen. And I see it in the teachers. And how they're getting worn out. And you give them some time off and it's just not enough. And how we've lost people and we've seen people go away and we've seen people fall. And we've seen people go out and do better things. And it's hurt us and it's caused us some pain and suffering. Amen, brother. Amen. And when the Lord showed me this, and I thought, yeah, it's a good message and it's good for me. And I'm not even at the actual message. It's coming later. I didn't want to preach it. I didn't want to get up and rail. I didn't want to rebuke. Sometimes you just want to preach a nice thing. You know, you want to preach about Christ on the cross. I mean, I love this time of year. I love the Christmas time of year because, you know, things get a little easier, as far as talking to people. They're not so quick to shut you down because it's, you know, in their mind, it's the Christmas season and all that stuff. But I like it. It's colder outside. I like the cold. I like bundling up and getting warm, having the fires and all that stuff. And I enjoy this time of year. And I love to get out there and just preach about Christ and preach about the cross and tell them how he died for our sins and all the wonderful things he did for us. Amen. But if they come in, they've got to come into a house of repentance. Okay. Yeah. And tonight I want to preach to you, and I haven't gotten to text you, but I want to talk about, yet have you not returned unto me. Let's read down a little bit in verse 5. It says, "And offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving, 11, and proclaim and publish the free offerings. For this liketh you, O you children of Israel, saith the Lord God. And I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and went of bread in all your places, yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord." Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this day, God. I know I'm being a little sporadic here, God. I'm nervous, and I pray that you'd help me with that.
Amen.
God, I pray that these people would see my heart in this message, God, and not the words. God, I pray that you'd give me what you want to say tonight, God. I pray that you'd just set me aside. God, I pray that the people would get some help from this message
Amen.
Tonight. God, I pray that they'd be encouraged and not dismayed. I pray they'd be lifted up, God, and not trodden down.
Amen.
I pray that they'd get some strength tonight, God. They'd get some desire, some fire to fight on and to keep trying, to keep moving forward, God.
Amen.
I thank you and love you for all that you do. In Jesus' wonderful name, I pray.
Amen.
So let me ask you, have you returned unto the Lord? I'm not saying have you ever come to him. I'm saying have you returned to him? And I remember at a time we were up at Youth Ablaze, and I'm up there, and I'm talking to Chris Ryman, and he's telling a story, and I had been going back and forth and kind of not really right with God, but kind of trying to be right with God, and I just couldn't get to the place where I felt like God was with me. And so I'm talking to him about it, and I said, you know what it really comes down to is I just miss my friend. And by that, I meant being close to God. I meant being close with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
See, the times I spent out in this world, the real father to me, as far as the spiritual needs go, was God. It was just me and him out there. And he was correcting me and doing not doing exactly the things he did here, but in another way, he was doing what he was doing to the Israelites and trying to get me to come back to him.
Amen. Amen.
And he was working on me, and I was bitter, and I was angry, and all those things. And when I finally came back, and I never forget it, I sat right over there, and my eyes welled with tears, and I couldn't stop them from coming. Samson came over to talk to me, and I couldn't stop. I mean, I've never cried like that before, and I say that honestly, crying. I mean, the water was coming down, and I couldn't stop it. And as it was happening, I could feel the burden of all the anger, of the hatred, and all that I've built up over the years just start to fade away, and God to break my spirit inside and what was built up in there, and gave such relief, and it was such a sweet time after that, with me and God.
Amen.
And time of prayer, and time in just getting alone, and getting by my bed, and praying with him, getting in the closet. I got into that thing about just getting to a private place, and I still do. I prefer to pray in private. I really do. That's where I feel better connected to God. I just get alone. I don't really even pray out loud. I just get down and pray with God, and try and have a conversation with him, and try and get close to him. And it was such a sweet time, and I always tell young people to come up, and I say, enjoy the sweet time. And what I mean by that is when you first get saved or when you first get right with God, there's this space where God is just rejoiceful.
Amen.
He's rejoiceful over the repentance that you've had. He's rejoiceful over how you've come back to him. And he's just opening his arms as a father embracing his son who's come home. And there's such this sweet time where he keeps the burdens away. He keeps the wiles of his life away from your mind and gives you space to just enjoy his grace and his mercy. And it's such a sweet time, but you can't stay there forever. And then slowly it goes, the trials come in, and then the burdens come in, and you have to learn how to deal with them, and you've got to grow, and you've got to learn to face them.
Amen.
And then some people, over time, you get cold.
Amen.
I've been coming here for 12 years now, believe it or not. And I've had ups, and I've had downs. And I've had times when it was going good, and I've had times when it's going bad. I've had times when it was me, and I've had times when it was people around me. I've had times when I've seen friends lifted up, I've seen friends fall down, I've seen friends go out. There were times when it felt like I was losing everybody around me. And I saw one friend leave, even another friend leave. Some for good reasons, some for bad reasons. But it just seemed like everyone was scattered around me. And it feels like that's kind of happening to our whole church right now. And we're just seeing people taken aside for different reasons and various reasons. And I think God is trying to work on our hearts.
Amen.
And I think God is ready for a new wave to step up. And God is ready for more of us to take on the responsibilities that we watch the old men do.
Amen.
And I'm not saying trying to shove your way or force it. I'm just saying for us to be ready.
Amen.
And us to stand and fill the gap. I stand at the back Wednesday nights, and I stand on the opposite side of Brother Bob because I know Brother Bob can't make it. And I just want to fill a spot for him until he comes back. But I stand on the other side out of respect for you, Brother Bob.
Amen.
Just to kind of do what he did a little bit. And I consider it an honor, as David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord.
Yeah! Amen! Hallelujah!
And I believe some of us need to do more of that. I believe there's opportunity. I know there's opportunity for most to do it more. There's a lot of gaps that can be filled.
Amen.
You don't got to take over somebody's position. You can just help them.
Amen.
You can just help them. We've got teachers that are just worn out. They've been doing it for years. And there's nobody really to fill their shoes. Amen. There's people that I'm thinking, if they get sick, it's going to be a struggle. It's going to be a struggle. We need some more help, folks. Amen. Now, I say that knowing I've got 20 teachers downstairs. 20 of you guys are down there serving. And it's great that you're serving. And I'm so thankful. And I know the Lord's thankful. Amen. I know pastor's thankful. But we've got to be more than obedient.
Amen.
We've got to have a heart in it.
That's right. Amen.
It's great that you'll do the job. But without the heart, it's not going to make the difference it would. These kids down there that come, we've got over 30 kids that are under 6 years old downstairs in the morning. They need to see heart with obedience. We've got to have a desire back, a fire back, that when we get tired, the fire and the desire overtakes our weariness and our weakness. It's the heart and the desire to do something which drives you to do it. If you're being obedient, you're always going to be tired.
Amen.
I mean, if you watch a basketball player go out there and play a game, and his heart's not in the game, he might play the game, but he ain't going to play it nowhere near as would if he's desiring to win.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
And we need some of that fire back. Let's look at some of the examples of what God did to try and get a hold of some of these Israelites. Now, keep in mind, at this point, he had already blessed them beyond imagination. When the Israelites came out of the wilderness, he gave them blessing after blessing. And what did they do in return? They murmured and complained. You say, well, they were doing what God told them to do. They were obedient. But all they did was murmur and complain.
Amen.
And I think from that example alone, we understand that alone does not work. That alone does not work. In verse 6, it says, I've given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities and want of bread in all your places. What he's saying is, I've taken away the blessings of the food. They were hungry. They were hungry. And he says, and I've done this to try, and he says that, and you have not returned unto me still. He says, I'm trying to get your attention. And then again, he tries. In verse 7, he says, also I withhold the rain from you when there were yet 3 months into the harvest, and I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. So two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. So here he is. He says, okay, well, I won't cut you off completely. He says, I'm going to get a little bit of blessing here, and I'm going to take it from here. And you're all going to gather around that little blessing I've got to show you that there is still goodness. There's still blessing in the church.
Amen.
But it's little.
Amen.
But it's little. Why? He says, because you still have not returned unto me. Verse number 9, and I have smitten you with blasting and mildew when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased and palmwood devoured them. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. And here he is, he's saying that their hand is not prospering. They're working, they're trying. They're planting the yard, they're planting the vineyard, they're putting it in the ground. They're towing the ground, they're doing the work. They're plowing, they're doing all they can. And what do they see from it? They finally see it. They see it's coming up. It's blessing. God's blessing it. And just to turn around and watch it destroyed. Have we not seen it here? Set up an opportunity, set up a mission, set up something, and we see it start to prosper just to see it dwindled?
Yeah.
Just to see it squashed?
Yeah.
Say, why? Because you have not returned unto me.
Amen.
You have not returned unto me. Let's be clear what I mean by that. What I mean by that is, I mean, we have no repentance in the church anymore. I mean, like I said, I stand in the back on Wednesday nights. I sing to my heart, and I try and encourage and drive the spirit that's in here, but I stand in the back and feel the oppressive spirit. Am I wrong, preacher? Is it not oppressive on Wednesday nights anymore? Brother Ben was joking, but he said, do you remember Sunday nights when God would come through? And we've gone to jokes because preachers trying to encourage you. I said, I'm not trying to hurt you tonight. I'm honestly not trying to hurt you. I know you're tired. I know you're worn out. I know you've been trying hard. I said, but the problem is there's lack of repentance.
Amen. Yeah.
We don't have it anymore, folks.
That's right, brother.
The altars are dry.
Amen.
There are no more tears.
Amen.
It's not even emotional anymore.
Right.
Yeah. It used to be just a bunch of people getting emotional, and you had a few that were repenting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we don't even have that anymore, folks.
That's right.
Where is it gone? Has God left? Is God no longer here? Or is he not doing the same things to us? He's saying, hey, you can return unto me.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's good preaching.
Verse 10, and I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your younger men have I slain with the sword, and have taken away your horses. And I have made the stink of your camps to come unto your nostrils. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. So now you find death in the camp. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. How many men have he just takes out? We've seen all the different options. We've seen them go start their own work, and that's great. That's a blessing. And we've seen some fall by the wayside. Have we not seen the same examples here today?
Amen.
Are we ready to return to God?
Oh.
11, I have overthrown some of you, as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were as firebrand plucked up by the burning. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. 5 times he says it. 5 times, yet have you not returned unto me. He gave them 5 chances. Yet have you not returned unto me. And he tries, and he tries, and he tries. And the people refuse to listen. The people refuse to listen. You know why? Because they don't believe anything's wrong. We're in church. I'm singing. I'm shouting. I'm praying every once in a while. I tithe on occasion. I give to missions when I feel like it. I do what I can when it's convenient. I come when I don't feel too tired. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to point out there is something wrong.
Amen.
There is something wrong. And I'm not talking individually to one person. I'm saying as a whole, all of us, including me, there is something wrong. We've gone cold. We've gone cold. It says in 12, it says, therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel. And because I will do this unto thee, scariest part of all, prepare to meet thy God. He says, last chance. He said, I'm going to give you the last thing I got. It's your choice at judgment. What do you want to see Faith Baptist Church be represented at the judgment? Do we want to be a church that's returned unto him? And as things started to change in my heart, I kind of felt like maybe we should just reset. You know, maybe we should just stop all the programs, stop all the activities, and just let's build them back up and start over. I remember talking to Brother George about the teens, and he took that over. And he's trying to figure out what he wanted to do with them. He wanted to restart teen camp. We all know that. I said, hey, brother, why don't you just start with ours? Let's not try and be what it was. Let's just take ours and start over. Just start our own thing. Let's not just redo what everyone else used to do. Why don't we just start our own work? It's been a blessing seeing Josh throwing together meetings for the men. Seeing Brother Joe starting a street ministry.
Amen.
I think we struggle too hard to try and keep alive what someone else used to do, instead of trying to do what's on our heart.
Yeah.
And trying to do what God gave us to do.
Yeah.
I think we can find a place where we can return to God. I think we can find a place where the church does not need to be cold. Where we can have the fire once again. And I know what some of you are thinking, because I've thought it myself. I just don't know if I can do it. I just don't have any energy. I'm getting tired. I've got this to do. I've got the stuff with the kids. I've got the stuff at work. I'm working 80 hours a week. I'm trying to figure out how to do this. I know all those things. I'm doing it myself.
Yeah,
that doesn't mean it's the right answer. I'm not saying it would be easy. I talked to Brother John downstairs a couple weeks back, and we were talking about how, you know, opportunities for younger couples and things like that are coming up. And I say, yeah, I've done it myself where I've asked, how did you guys do it? How did you have little kids and still do all these things in the church and still go to all these activities? And he said, you know, I don't know. I didn't say it was easy. He said, we just did it.
Amen.
We just did it. And I think we need to get to a place where we just decide we're just going to do it.
That's right.
Yeah. We're just going to do it. But I think it's going to have to start with repentance.
Amen, brother.
We need to accept that we have gone cold. We need to accept that the church is different today.
Yeah.
And just deal with it. I don't think we need to set ourselves to a standard from something we saw in the past. I think we need to decide what we need to be in the future.
Amen.
We need to decide, you know, what missions we're going to take on, what opportunities we can serve in, where you can serve, what you can do for God, and what God's got on your heart.
Amen.
I think we can do it, guys.
Amen.
I think we can do it. And here he said, you have not returned unto me. I think we got plenty of opportunities still to return to God.
Amen.
I'm going to pray. Father, thank you, God, for this day, God. I hope nobody's upset, God. I hope nobody's hurt. Lord, this is more for me, I think, than anybody else. At least in my heart, I feel that way. And God, I've been frustrated with not being able to get things done. And wishing I could do more downstairs and wishing I could see more things happen and do more for the kids. And I've seen men try so hard, God. I pray you just, God, you fulfill our hand and help it prosper, God.
Amen. Amen.
I know if we start by getting close to you, God, the work that we do will go much further. We'll see more come from it, God, if you're in it, than if we're trying to do it on our own strength. God, we need you more now than we ever have, I think. As the days go on, we need you more. God, I think we need your guidance more than ever. I think you need your strength more than ever. And I think we need your wisdom most of all. God, I pray that you'd give us a desire just to serve. Not of obligation or of duty, God, but of a willing heart and a desire to want to see a change, to want to see your son lifted up, God, to see the people in this town and the people around us, God, know who Jesus Christ is and know what he's done for them, how they can see his son. Seems we've gotten so far away from just the basics of salvation. I pray we'd focus and get back to your son and his sacrifice. Father, thank you for the night, God. I pray that you just bless the rest of the evening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Stay praying.